just open our Bibles tonight in Isaiah. Amen.
Years ago, I had Brother Green, I had the privilege of having all of his children, and all of his grandchildren, daughter-in-laws, and all of them come to our church, Red Green Week. And they got green around there. They did. Some of them got green around the jewels down there. Man said to me the other day, he said, you know, if God touched me that week, God touched me, I've never been the same. So my home has never been the same since I went to that week. And I talked to that young man just the other day. He's working in a prison work now. He got into church that very week. He called the news to his family. And I go to Green State. It's a terrible thing to lose one of your children. In Isaiah 66, we was in a cafe one day, Brother Green remembered it. He and I was sitting out eating dinner. About 10 or 15 preachers was there with us. Brother John Mitchell and I don't know who all, but the little fat guy, Jim White. We was all sitting there eating, and two or three of his boys were there. And he got to shouting in the cafe. Got to crying, and I asked him if he wouldn't mind letting me in on it. I'd like to shout myself occasionally. Yeah. And he said, I just wanted to say, I'm glad that these men at this table are my boys. This is my strength, and this is my time. I'm glad many years ago I found my strength. I want to say this, but I guess Brother Green says his boy John and I are alike. John, he hates the modernists and calls them all by their first name, and I do the same thing. I'd rather be a whoremonger and a drunk than I would a modern. Who a whoremonger and drunk might get saved, but the other, he's hopeless. A modernist is a terrible thing. Here lately, I've been calling them by their name. Been real ugly with them. The last 30 days has been awful. I just as soon run around with a man who denies the Bible than a man that's a moral apostate. And we've got a lot of moral apostates. And I'd fellowship just as good myself, which I have no fellowship at all, with a theological apostate. And if you're a moral apostate and you have no conviction, I don't want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
And don't even speak to my children. It's the way I feel about it. I feel that way. Some of these old men, they go around and say, well, they just go too far. You're a compromiser.
Yeah.
You got lace on your drawers and you're scared. If you're scared you're going to run somebody off in that church. I'll do my best. A man called me the other day and I run him off. Lady came up to me, called me Sunday night. She said, I'd like to ask you a question. She said, a woman had no business in a man's house. Was you talking to me? I said, Russell, what are you doing in somebody's house? You're a married woman. Well, she said, this man is a single man and I clean his house. I said, not while he's there, do you? He's 38 years old, unmarried man, businessman in our city, got saved a year ago. I said, you don't go there when he's there, do you? What does the neighbor think? You said, I just said, I said, what's the neighbor think? And you better be wondering what I'm thinking, because I tell you what I'm thinking. I think you're immoral. When I catch a man at a woman's house, I got doubts about his morality. You said, you're just an old, dirty old man. No, you're just a wicked old Christian. You said that Brother Woods, that was just your
Brother Green, down in Houston, I don't know if they do it anywhere else, but people just, you know, in the church members, you know, they go over to the people's house and visit. Boys go visit the girls, you know, ain't nobody, they live in their own apartment, and you're a wicked snake. You ain't got no business in a woman's house if you ain't married to. You hear what I said? You thought, you said, is this, this is in the sermon. We just keep bringing down the standard. We said, well, God don't have any standards.
Oh, yeah.
You must not ever read the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, you said, Brother Wood, that's not for our dispensation. I hate that word and everybody uses it. You ain't going to take my Bible with me. Right. I like that word. And I found out something about God. Jesus must not like it either. That woman sitting there and Jesus said, I can't give you any of this bread. You're in the wrong dispensation. No, I'm just a dog. Feed me. He just stepped out of dispensation. You ain't going to put my God in your little theological discourse. You get him in your little matchbox and he'll break out, honey.
That's
all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isaiah 66 said, thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things which mine hand made, and all those things which have been, said the Lord. But to this man, and I've got those words underlined right there, but to this man. I don't give a flip about that other man, I want to be this man. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Those words just jumped out at me, he that trembleth at my word. A man who's got sense enough to fear what God says. I just want to say this. I went through the Bible. I had never preached it even. But for days, I went through the Bible and looked at the word nakedness. Now, if there's anything I'm completely settled on, is that God hates a naked person running around somewhere. Ain't no word of park. He just said, that's it. God don't like it. Amen. I looked out in my church service the other day and two ladies sitting there and had their blouses unbuttoned.
Go ahead. Yes.
What would you say to the man if he didn't have his breeches unbuttoned?
Yes. Like that.
You said, I think he's a dirty old man. Well, I think you're a dirty old girl.
Yes.
You put your breeches up,
yes.
Ain't
right?
Praise God. We're home tonight, amen. You said, I thought we'd come to a mission conference. You better get straightened up before you leave. But to this man, God said, I will look to him. He said, he that killeth an ox is as he slew a man. God said, oh, here this religious crowd, they killed an ox just like they killed a man. In other words, they were making a sacrifice to God, but it didn't make a bit of difference. They got loose about this thing. He that sacrificed a lamb just like he cut off a dog's neck. Just like he killed it all. Worshiping God. I mean, just triumphing with God. I'll name just a little pain here, if that's what you want to call it. Black man said, nine's my pain. He said here, the recklessness in the ministration of God's business. I'm going to tell you something. There's some recklessness in the business of God. You get reckless, as Brother Green said a while ago, you can get your children in a car, and you can get some preacher,
And I'm going to throw him the brakes and put him out of my car. Going down the highway one day, two of my boys in there, and this goofball was up right along, been a preacher 20 years, and started talking about Brother Roll. I said, hey, man, wait a minute. Wait a minute! I'll be talking about Brother Roll in front of my boy. I told him, man, he's holding up the moon. Some nut gets up in the pulpit and says, well, I don't care what Rye said. How about Brother John Allwright? You said he's wrong about some things. You'll wake up one time, you're about to have heretic too. You hear this word everywhere, Ruckman. How about Brother Peter Ruckman? How about Dr. Ruckman, huh? How about that? Ain't nothing wrong with that. You say, he don't know anything. I never heard him say he was smart.
Amen.
He had Brother Danny Farley down a while back and myself, and he taught on finances, and they had the greatest illustration right there behind them. The church was, had a financial problem. Had us get up there, and Brother Farley brought a message, and everybody got mad. Said, I don't believe anybody ought to get up and preach. Look, you dummy. You ain't even got sense enough to balance a $250 a week checkbook, and you want God to send you to church with a $5,000 a week offering, and you're going to balance that. Brother Danny Fowler, some 10 years ago, took this boy in the room and said, now sit down and listen to me. How much money do you owe them? $13,000. You owe everybody met. And some of them he never had met, he borrowed off this. I asked him, now, how much you owe? He said, nothing. I said, it works. Financial and morals is what's killing the church. Preacher joins the church, comes into church, buys everything on the God's green house.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me today, said, how is y'all's church doing finance? I said, great. I said, it's doing great. You don't know how great it's doing? I just took track. I said, brrr. I told my wife, give me the last 3 months. I don't know exactly every dollar coming to this church. She said, it's 75,000 in 3 months. I don't know how much come in. How you gonna know? Because I asked Danny how I'm doing. You said, you mean you use his mind? Yeah, I ain't got no money. But you know what you think? Dr. Bosgrove Sr. told me, said, I said, Doc, I don't have any sense at all about finance. He said, that's no problem. But I said, I don't know how to build a building. He said, that ain't no problem. He said, the problem will come when you try to do it. Hire somebody else. He said, theologians are dime a dozen. Rinky one. Hire your architect. Come in. I go sit down at my banker. Ask my banker. If you can take Brother Green's got 40 years of ministry, Brother Son. 100 years of ministry. Sit down, young preacher. Now, young man, this is the way you got to do it. He said, what's that? I said, you know what that is? Them three old folks told me. But the same nut goes down to the doctor. He's 29 years old. The doctor said, I'll tell you what, I've looked over, I believe your wife's got cancer. He comes back and he said, buddy, I tell you, I've got problems. He said, that's why my wife's got cancer. How do you know she got cancer? Well, that man told me, he said, you know, he's one of the greatest doctors in our area. But 100 years of experience speaks, and you walk out them doors and get in your car and said, I tell you what, I don't need anymore. I just don't believe those convictions are necessary. We'll let you preach next. There's a recklessness in the ministry. We're reckless with a smile. I never used this word. I never used this word when I was lost. When a man sat down at my table, Brother Green, he sat down at my table and used a word that I never used in my life when I was unsaved. The dirtiest word a preacher used that word. And my wife started weeping and so I said, well, should I hit him? I had my pistol on, reckon I ought to shoot him. Well, what should I do? What do you do with an idiot like this? This idiot is at your table and he used the filthiest blackguard word that ever come out of the sewer in Houston, Texas. Only the black people use it. We down in the ghetto use that word at my table. My wife said, my God, my husband was a dope fiend outlaw, and I never heard him use that word. Well, the preacher. He said, who was it? And I can throw a rock to him right now. Oh. We've come a long ways, baby. My wife went to the back room crying. I said, you fool. I took my three times over my hands. I had to constrain myself knocking this fool out of that chair sitting there. He said, I didn't mean anything. I was just telling you what that man accused my daughter of doing in the back room. We've come a long way. A man who said that in front of one of my daddy's boys, my daddy killed him when my daddy was lost. There's a recklessness. Our mouths are reckless. Oh, you're green. I don't care. You get green, you get old. Amen? There's a recklessness. There's a recklessness with our manners. Our mannerisms. Our morals, we're reckless with them. I'm going to tell you something. There's a belief today that you can perish the thought. People just believe today, if they're in the ministry, they just commit adultery and be back in the ministry. I'm going to tell you what M. R. D. Hahn said. Believed and taught for 35, 40 years, and I believe the old man was dead. But he said, preacher, if God entrusts you with a church, and you commit adultery in that church, you are through. And I believe exactly what M. R. D. Hahn said. I proved him wrong three times, Brother Green. Three times I proved him wrong. And I say to myself, he was wrong. And within a year, he was right again.
Three times
that happened. And he's getting quiet on me. What have you been doing? Committing adultery? I mean, save me. Save me. I said, you're through. God puts an office in that church. And he messed that man a pipe. And he's right. And God is through with him. He said, I don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you what Jerry Falwell said. Jerry Falwell said to Mr. James Robinson, James, give me a verse of scripture in the New Testament for that. He said, God forgave thee. He said, James, give me a verse of scripture in the New Testament. And he said, well, Jimmy repented. The Louisiana kid repented. He didn't repent. That snake got caught. He's a snake. And I'm really glad it happened. Because I've been preaching 25 years that they're all snakes. And I'm glad God revealed what I said was the truth. Makes me feel like a prophet tonight. Amen. They're wrong. I've been preaching that for years. That's a record. I'm going to. This Bible said, let everything be done decent in order. God's man shouldn't be reckless. You're in God's business. This is the most important. People just said, I'm going to mission field. 3 months later, I'm coming back. Oh, get out. Go get drunk somewhere. Live like the devil. I'd just soon be anything. It's just a quit. I know men get ruined and get hired. Come home and get ready. Go back. Do what God wants you to do. I'm talking about these people. 3 months later, I quit. You ain't never got started yet. Man told me the other day, he said, I've tried to build a church there and nobody helped me. I said, let me preach you a sermon, son. It's about 3 minutes long. I heard Earl Hughes preach it. Took him 3 minutes preaching. He said, them people down there in that city where he was going didn't send for him. So when he got in it, they didn't help him. And you're going to have the same thing happen to you. You get that message? 3-point message. Took him 3 minutes to preach. And the world didn't call you. The world didn't send for you. Why don't you go down and do what God told you to do? Now why don't you just come home and get up and say, bless God, I failed. And everybody get out and cry with you and sling snot with you and hang around the church a couple of years and go back. Amen? Ain't nothing wrong with that. Then just quit blaming it on everybody else. Said, Lord, it was me. I tell you, I was a smart aleck. I'll fight. I want to start all over again. Man, I've had a great time starting all over. A lot of time. A
of people doing God's business in the flesh. That's reckless.
I've got to be a success. You don't have to be nothing but God's man. You said, Brother, if I go out as a missionary, what should I do the first year? Probably nothing. Probably nothing. Be the most wonderful thing ever happened to you. Some dumb bell wrote one of his missionaries a letter and said, thank God. He's going to some country, couldn't speak a word of their language. He said, thank God, next week for the first time, there'll be a church meeting in that country. You dummy. I can't speak the language. This pastor didn't even want a church war. Reckless. There's recklessness in the ministry of God. I believe the Lord wants me to go under Word for the World Mission Board. There ain't no such thing as going under Word for the World. You ain't going nowhere under Word for the World. You're going out of Shady Acres Baptist Church, if you're a member of my church, you ain't going under Word for the World. Word for the World is going to receive your money and pray for you and help you and send you money. If you do anything wrong, they're going to call me and I'm coming over and talk to you about it. Know what I'm saying? Brother Homer here and a bunch of preachers here got together and you want to call it a board? That ain't what it is. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a clearing house. Maybe it's someplace to gather the money together. Yeah. But I want to tell you something. If Don Green sends a man down here to go out on this board and that man does something wrong, Don Green is contacted. And they said it's Parker Memorial's problem. Ain't no problem with this board. Everybody going around and says, I mean, you know, you live like the devil. I mean, you're telling Brother Homer's fault, Brother Jack's fault. We didn't help you do it. All Brother Homer's going to do is send you a letter and say, we ain't going to handle your finances no more. You said the board kicked me out. No, they didn't kick you nowhere. They didn't even aim at you. They just ain't handling your money no more. Is that simple? And if you got some little old sorry, weak sister for a preacher, they're going to call him. And he said, well, y'all better come on down here. We'll find another board, but we'll send you out. God bless your little heart. Hey, don't say nothing. No, you leave me alone. I'm preaching. Amen. I mean, if you've done something wrong, get down here and get right with God.
Yeah.
But you know what most people do when they get right with God, Brother Green? When they get right with God, they say, well, I'll tell you. I've done so-and-so, but Mike, you know what Mike did? And I was wrong, but you know what Bill did? You know what he did? Hey, no! You don't get right with God? You come down here and say, God, it wasn't no part of me! I don't get right with God. I'm mad. I said, bless God, I'm mad tonight. I thought some people maybe done wrong. But bless God, I want to tell you something. You wicked snake, you, when you take some little old missionary aside and you sit them down and you poison their minds or just their own family, you as wicked. You as wicked as hell.
Amen.
Then you cry about 6 crocodile tears. Nobody cares about all that. All I care about, you come out and get right with God, you walk out that door right. When you're right, it's always the same. When you're right, it's always the same. I sin. I said, David got right. I sin, Lord. It was me, Lord. Lord, it wasn't Bathsheba. Lord, it wasn't Joab. It's me. You're reckless. Reckless. The administration of God's business. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doing God's business in the flesh. Aaron's two boys, they did that, didn't they? They said, let's put it on a fire. They stressed it all out there, but God wouldn't show up. They said, well, God don't need to show up. No, I got my message. Get my clipboard out. I'll show you how to do it. I don't need God to come here. I don't need to fast and pray. I don't need to cry. That's for the Old Testament. That's another dispensation. I'll show you how to do it. This dispensation, here's how you do it. So they got them a match. They struck that fire, that altar, and God killed them both. I'm going to tell you something. That's a lot of strange fire being burned today. Trying to show the world God's there. But boy, I say it takes a lot of matches. It takes a lot of striking. It takes a lot of burning that old flesh. And God ain't showed up till yet. Amen? I mean, David, He's going to build a house. He said, I'd like to build God a house. I'd like to build God a house. Nathan said, yeah, man, go ahead and build it. Nathan went home and God said, no, we can't build it. Nathan had sense of right and God said, I've always wondered why God said in the Bible, the house that David built. You ever wondered about that? Maybe God just paid him for wanting to do it. He didn't do it. He didn't do it! But he got the material to it. Recklessness in the administration of God's business. Then selfishness in the choice of the place to serve God. Look at verse 3. He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb to be cut off his hand. As if he had offered a swine's blood. He that burneth incense. Yea, bless the idol. Yea, they have chosen their own way. And their soul delighteth in their abominations. Did you ever see a generation delight in their abominations? I've never seen it like this in my life. My wife looked across the table at me the other morning. And that old sick woman said to me, she said, preacher, where is the old time missionary there? Where there? She said, Brother Jack, do you see some growing up to take the place? And I said, yes, I see some. Well, she said, you travel more than I do. She said, my God, Jack, missionary came in our church. And she said, would you mind if I hooked on to the electric? I said, yeah. He'd hook on to electricity. He'd come in, turn on the air conditioning. Cost $20 a day to run a big 10-ton. He turned on it. My wife walked in my office. And he's sitting up there, Brother Green. And he had his feet up on his side. And he's sitting on my desk. Cost $600 somebody gave him. He had his feet popping. My wife said, son, take your feet down off that desk. Now that one was just a little bit funny. She just mad. He said, get your feet up on that desk. Get out of that preacher. He said, I was just using the stuff. And she said, son, get out of there. He said, a woman don't have any debt. That's her husband. She give you permission to go in my office and prop your feet up on my desk. I just said, you're reckless. I said, you're reckless. And I said, God don't like you. No other reason. Just be respectful. Just have some respect. Amen. You sound like that. I know it, but you live in abomination. We take great pleasure in that which God hates. Did you, Brother Green preached my wife, I felt it kind of freeze up. But you know, Sunday night, I got to thinking about it. Look at all of the people that go home Saturday night and get home Saturday night, and they got to get back to Sunday for work, or Monday for work, and they can't go home except on Sunday. You see, that's why God said that's the Lord's day. That ain't your day. Right. And so they go home, and they get up there, and that church, they up there where their mama lives, it's David. So we can't go there because, you know, it's David. Well, you're dead, why don't you go over and join the dead? And then about 1 or 2 o'clock, they leave up there, and they don't make it back in time for service.
Yeah.
And they said, Brother Wood, we intended to come. And I watched one of the best families this Savior could ever have. Get out! And I'm very sorry. One of the best families that our church got to visit and grandma just a little bit. I want to see the children. What I was talking about a while ago was the children need to see you being faithful to the church.
Yeah.
I said, those things that God hates us. You know, in the place that we desire, yeah, I'll serve the Lord. You've made your choice, haven't you? They're selfish in the choice of serving God. In verse 3, we choose our own place. They've chosen their own way. Their soul delighteth in their abomination. We choose the place we want to serve. We even choose the position we want to serve.
Yeah.
I believe God wants me to be a pastor. Well, who gave you that? You know, it's the strange thing about George W. Truett. He don't never say he was even called to be a pastor. One of the deacons stood up after he preached for about 10 years in all of the churches around the country, and he said, we got to take care of some business here in this old church. This has been back before the turn of the century. And George W. Truett out there in Texas in a little town called Whitehall, and he stood up and he said, George here has been called to preach, and I make a motion we license him. He said, and George W. Truett spoke up and said, just a minute.
said, I said, God called this man preacher. I'm at the motion of his eyes. George said, he said, I said, oh. That's when he had God the deacon. He said, here's my Lord. And George said, the truth, they put me in the ministry. There was another man who said that over in the Bible. You read that, didn't you? Paul said, he put me in the ministry. Amos said, I just got took. But I was like that gathering in the sycamore foot, and the Lord took me. Paul said, he put me. See, there's a difference between being put and took. Nowadays, we decide where we're going to go. Man said, you know, they said, I work with these Indians, so I'm sick and tired. Do you know any little church? Little good church? I said, yeah. Well, I knew one. You talking about going to smoke. And I recommend it. And it's good. Good way to get him off the mission field. Save the church all the money. And Buddy, they go like him. And they go eating. You said, you're wicked. They don't love God. They don't even know God. And he don't either. So let them all go to God. You said, son, look, that's awful. I thought it was wonderful. I've been patting myself on the back. And I'm no three, four more preachers I'm going to recommend one. So I'm going to get them off the mission, see. And I know three, four preachers I'd recommend somebody for me. Verse 3 there, they said they delight to do the abomination. We take great pleasure in doing things that God hates. We're highly pleased with that which God has achieved. You ever think about the things that you're doing in your life that God's unfolded you and you're not going to have? I'm not going to have it. And you just go right on through the ritual anyway. God said, I'm not going to have it. We're praising God for that which he does not have nothing to do with. I'm going to preach tonight. I want you to look at it in verse 4. I also accused their delusion. And I've never in my life seen a people with so many delusions. They don't know where they're at. I go to every church in here. I've been in some of you preachers' churches, every one. And the first thing people say, Brother Wood, I'm looking for the will of God. I know it. I know the will of God for everybody right in here. There ain't the four times in the Bible even mentioned that. And it's the will of God you get saved. And then after you're saved, it's the will of God that you be sanctified, whole. In other words, God does a little progressive work in your heart and life. That's God's will. But Brother Green mentioned some things there, and he said, I don't believe that. That really doesn't make any difference, does it? It's too easy. What you got ain't working. And one guy said to me here a while back, he said, I have been pastor of 9 churches in the last 12 years. I said, don't look like it's working. He said, God called me to be a pastor. I must be confused. God must be confused. What we do, we decide what we want to do. And then it takes us 10 years to build a scaffold and it's not that up. I've been preaching for years and giving invitations for people to get out of the ministry. Tay, what was Tay that did not? Raise your hand, Tay. Tay's daddy came down. I won this girl's daddy. He was saved in 1957. I'm not going to remember my church tonight. I was there the night she was born, so you know I'm getting old. She was a missionary. And so I said, he come down, he surrendered to preach. He surrendered to be a missionary. And after a few years, he came to me and he said, God hadn't called me to do nothing. Brother Lawrence, you remember. Brother Lawrence, he went down and worked with Brother Lawrence. I mean, yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Tell me what I said. I said, you God wanted to be a missionary. And you know, there's a lot of preachers. Brother Green, you had any preachers in your church? As I told a man in my church, I said, was on a cold December day. And he said, what would be the greatest thing in my ministry? I said, do you have your preaching ordination with you? He said, I can't find my Bible. I said, throw it in that furnace. I said, and I opened the little thing for him. He said, Brother John, God called me, and I've been to BBC and got you an education. And he never preached a lick, and he ain't got a lick of preaching in him. He's preaching about God, and God calls him, and he puts a little preacher in him. If you ain't got no preaching in you, ain't no preacher. You ain't no preacher? How are you going to be a preacher without no preacher? Huh? How are you going to preach without any preacher? And I'll tell you, a lot of men in the church, they roam around, and go from church to church trying to break up that little pond. And the greatest thing you can do, you're not going to do it. One man said to me down in Mexico a little while back, he said, and he was mad. He was angry. And his pastor said, what's he mad about? I said, he's mad at that one-eyed Mexican. He said, what's he mad at that little one-eyed Mexican for? I said, because that little one-eyed Mexican is running through hundreds and hundreds of schools. And that guy there graduated from Peter Ruckman's school, and he ain't got nobody. And ain't nobody wants to hear him preach. And furthermore, he can't preach. And furthermore, he ain't no preacher. But every time you see, he's starting the church. But God don't never show up. And the people don't show up. And his wife hurts it, they wouldn't show up. And he was mad because that little preacher had some preach in him. And when he get up and preach, he'd preach to the Mexican fire. And little Reuben sees those people get saved. He's working up. He's about 23 years old. And I believe he's on his third church. He's built. Turn it over to the you said, I don't believe that. I know it didn't, you dummy. But you're 25 years old before your mama bought your drawers and your socks and everything. You got to be 25 years old. But that little messy when he's five, he standing on the street corner trying to sell a package of gum. And he grew up to be a man when he's a young boy.
Amen.
And you ain't never grew up yet. You'll come around the church and say, if the church is what here, I mean, we started the old church downtown 30 something years ago. Ain't nobody give us nothing but hell by the acre. Lied on us, done everything they could do. We unloaded trucks, we worked, we done everything. Try to make a list. Mm-hmm. Wish I could get to them other points. I don't think we're going to make it. They delighted in their abomination. Then the Bible said here in verse 4, they had delusion. And they'll bring their fears upon him. So when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they didn't fear. But they did evil in mine eyes, and they chose that which I delight not. They're doing a bunch of things God said, I don't even like it. Have you ever asked God what you're doing, if he likes it or not? If you ask your wife occasionally, honey, do you like this? How about asking God Sunday morning, Lord, do you like this? Lord, do you like what I'm fixing to do? Lord, I just surrendered to do so and so. Lord, what do you think about? You'll get this after a while. We think we're some kind of favorite from God. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Green, now you got this down. Brother Green, this will help some of your preaching. Brother Green, in the University of Houston the other day, the head professor out there said that there was only one culture in the world left today where the man is the head of the family as a nation. And he said that's an Hispanic culture. And he said we're working seriously on it to destroy that, but the only culture left in the world is an Hispanic culture. I'm going to say something. You ain't going to like it. You ain't going to like it at all. You ain't going to like it. But there's more people being saved today in the Spanish world, 400 million Spanish speaking people, and there's more people being saved today in the Spanish culture than anywhere else. Why? That's right. Because the man is the head of the family. They're coming.
Amen.
But that professor said to them, Brother Dan Meadows sitting right in the class. And Brother Dan come home and reported what was in the classroom. And he said, well, we're working on that. A man comes in our church and he makes a profession of faith. And a man, Brother Danny Farley was preaching here not too long ago, a year or so ago, and a big policeman come walking down the aisle. So his name's Hill. And one of them maids on the police, armed men, catch his criminals, put them in jail. He's a Texan. Got a big six gun on him. He's a Texan, big hat. And he said, Brother Farley, we're coming today, me and my family, to join this church. And his wife said, right back there in the back. Brother Farley said, say, what? I'd have walked back there and said, whoom! And I'd have saved my family, I said. Him and that woman is divorced from that. She wouldn't come. She didn't come, did she, Dan? What'd she do that? She went back there and said, I'll get her. Honey, if you please come. Instead of getting her, said, woman, you know what I said? Isn't that something to you that a big 240-pound man can walk around with a gun on? And I mean, run right in a place, the guy got three submachine guns, bam, 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 they shoot it out. And he gets home and she weighs 90 pounds. And she got it by the nose. And you don't figure that out. I never have figured that out. I'm telling you, hey, man, you are having a dream. And you know what that little girl's doing tonight? She's sitting out there in the country crying, wondering where her husband, when he wasn't a man, is her husband. You're going to send you a strong delusion. I wonder what that is. You know, a delusion is a child father. I looked that thing up in the dictionary, and it said a child and father. And some people sit around and say, you know, I always did want to go to Germany. I believe I'll go and be a missionary. Well, God bless you. You'll be back. It is a delusion. It's a dream without any foundation. A delusion. Oh, I'm going to heaven when I die. Well, how about having a little heaven right here? How about living a little heaven right now? You said, I want no heaven now. I want all I can get out of this world. And then, when I die, I want all that other world. I'm sorry. You might believe it, but I don't believe it. But you live in two worlds. I believe you've got to make up your mind in this life and get saved. And I believe you're saved. You're from something, to something, and for something. You get that tonight. It's a delusion. A delusion, to me, is to believe that you can get by with something when God said no. That's a delusion. Brother Willie Crosby asked me a question. Brother Willie and I, we haven't been friends a long time. We've known each other a long time. He came to my house here a while back and he said, I was in a meeting, Brother Green was there with us, and he said, Brother Wood, I just came here. I want to stay in your home, and I don't want to cost you any extra money. I said, I played the first class hypocrite. I said, Willie, I wouldn't dream of you staying in my home. I've rented you the best motel room in the second, and you just go down and get your food all free. Amen. Yeah, I've known him for 40 years, you know, and that's a while. And I want to make sure he got plenty of rest. And I did too. Really, the reason I put him in there, he wouldn't let me talk. He does all talk. I mean, all right. All right. I said it's a delusion. Would you look at verse 5, please? Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. You and I are experiencing an embarrassment before a godly world for the way people live. I went in a barber shop here a good while back, and the man was cutting my hair. And I said, sir, are you a Christian? And he was a Mexican fellow, and he said, no. He said, I've been cutting here, and he said, I'm a Mason. And he had a Masonic thing up there, and I said, well, I don't know anything about that. He said, well, why aren't you a Mason? I said, well, Masons don't like people like me, and I told him all about my past. I said, the only body would have me was Christ. And I said, the Mason are looking for some good people, and I said, Christ is looking for some bad people. The Masons have never found any yet, but Christ has found a lot of bad. Isn't it? Well, we're in bad. And he said to me, he said, one of your men in your tires owes me for a drill that he bought off of me. I said, not one of my men. He said, yeah, one of the men is a member of your church. I said, what's his name? He told me. He's not a member of my church. I said, we churched him 8 years ago. He said, you did what? I said, you know, you're like you Masons. You kick a guy, don't you, if you don't do right? I said, I say that because that's what we do. I said, we put him out a long time ago. I had two of my ladies one time got kicked out of a bar. So Wednesday night, I put them out of church. Some lady called me and said, I just don't believe in that. I said, well, do you believe in a bar kicking them out? I said, they kicked them out last night. I thought we'd just put them out tonight. I got more convictions than the bar. At least. But we're being embarrassed. We're being embarrassed before a godless world. Now, Jimmy Swagger don't embarrass me. Because he's exactly what I thought he was. Now, Tammy and Jimmy didn't embarrass me a bit in the world. They're exactly what I thought. Now, but if Brother Jones would do something, that would embarrass me. Because I know he's God's man. I wouldn't, Brother Jones, if I differed with you on a conviction, if you had something, and I just wouldn't differ with you, Brother Jones, because if anybody believes anything in this day and time, I'm going to holler hooray for it. If you ever get to believing, Brother Jones, if you're not to wear them boots anymore, you're to wear snowshoes, I'm going to buy me a pair of snowshoes and go with you. Because most people don't believe nothing.
Amen.
I'm just going to go with you. You said you're a compromiser. No, I ain't. I'm going to encourage him to wear snowshoes. So the church is embarrassed because we are not able, to influence this world. Very few churches in America have any influence in the community where they live. They're embarrassed at their powerless lives. The world looks at us. They're shining to the ungodliness that prevails in our land. We can't get one prayer. Amen. Don't come up here and tell me about the abortion crowd and what the moderns don't believe. Let's talk about us. Now, we're unable to reach the world. And the Bible said, hear the word of the Lord. You that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, that he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. They that tremble at his word. I want to say just a few words, and I'm going to close about they that tremble at his word. In Acts 2, you know, when Peter preached, a little young man said in my church the other day, he said, him and his dad come by, and out of courtesy to a good man, I let the kid speak a few minutes. I shouldn't have, but I did. And he got up and he said, I'd like to share something. I hate that word. God knows. Don't share nothing with me. I mean, tell me, preach to me, do anything, but don't, God, what's that word? Share. And I read an old Jew preacher in 1932, and he said, God didn't call you to share the gospel, he called you to preach the gospel in 1932. And I said, bless God, he hated as bad as I did in 32. I wish I'd take it out of the dictionary. I'm glad the Lord didn't say, I want to share something. You know, I hate that word. But in Acts 2, Peter shared the gospel with him. And the Bible said they were cut to their heart. Yes, they were cut to their heart. Brother Wood, Sunday morning, when I got through preaching, some folks got saved, and Sunday night, when this young kid, he got through talking, and Brother Dean was so upset, and a lost man and his wife walked out of service, and they went down there to a little place, probably get them a bottle of beer, like folks after the church, and they probably went down there, nice people come to say this, and so Dean, he went down and followed back, and brought them back, and I got me a little piece of paper here, and I said, old Brother Dean's brought them people, and I better get me something. And while this monkey was sharing with him, I wrote down in Luke 16 what he didn't know when he went to hell. What he found out when he got there. What he remembered after he'd been there a while. And what he could not have after he got there. I got to preach 15 minutes on don't go to hell. What if, oh boy, he's just sitting there. That guy done shared with him about 15. But he's sitting there looking about going to hell.
It takes 4 years of college and 3 years of seminary to keep you up. Shabby. That's the honest truth. Well, I tell you what you can learn. You can learn about 10 minutes how to preach on hell. Who are those that tremble at the word? Those that have faith in this word. We've lost faith in this book right here. We've lost faith in this book right here. Those that fear His word. That's what it says right there. They that tremble. If God calls you to be a missionary, it ought to scare you today. God calls you to be a preacher, it ought to scare you today. God puts you in the work of God, ought to just scare you to death. It's enough to make it. You know, I'm not really worried so much about the people that I saw saved through the year. And this has been the most fruitful year of City Acre Baptist Church. This has been it. This has been it. I've never seen nothing like it. This has been it. But I'm not really worried about that. I'm worried about the other 10 or 12 years and the people as a preacher me not having God's divine guidance and the lambs that lay slain back down the line. That's what bothered me. I looked back and I saw a family the other day. I talked to them just a few minutes and I remember when I married them, I saw them saved and I thought how they got out of God's house and how they got away and how rude and ugly I was. And I tell you, I really took counsel. I'm not worried about the sheep that I saw saved. I'm worried about the lambs that I hurt along the way. Those that hear His word. Paul said, woe is me if I preach my word. I mean, those who want them, Brother Don, them old time Holy Ghost conviction. There's some things that is burned. Did you ever notice when you go in a barber shop, you ladies agree with me or disagree if you want to? You ever notice when you go in a barber shop? They said, you want me to leave this pearl here? And here and that's what he's doing. They're always trying to get you to leave your hair full. Now, did you ever go to a place and they say, "Boy, I'd just like to get a hold of your hair. I'd just like to cut it all off." Ladies, is that right or is that wrong? You ladies agree with me or disagree? You agree with me? So when a lady goes to a barber shop, they just, when she's got beautiful hair like this lady's got, they just want to get a hold of it. They just cut it all off. So when you go there, they want you to grow your house. What do you think? Are they mixed up? They're all mixed up. Because you see, I'm sorry, ladies, but a wicked woman don't want nothing to do with the glory of God. And a man is God's glory, and she wants to see it distorted.
Yeah. Amen.
And a woman's hair is her glory, and he wants to see it off.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. I like that. No time conviction.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
You say, we're in a new age. I want some old time holy.
Yeah.
I don't believe. Brother Green is talking. I'm going home. I really am. I'm going home. Get home, son, and tell my wife. Don't throw the newspaper here on the side. I don't read the newspaper anymore. I'm going home. I made up my mind. You said Brother Green didn't preach on it. I know it, but that's what just spoke my. There ain't going to be no funny paper coming to my house on Sunday no more. I don't know about living nothing in my house. I don't want nobody coming by my house throwing no paper in my yard. I just don't want nobody coming by my house. He said, "I don't believe it. I don't care." He gets you 3 funny papers. You get the Houston Post, the Houston Chronicle, and I'll show you one. You read my church paper, it sounds like funny papers sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it. I made up my mind. I've been preaching some things down here. A man's wife came in there, and she didn't have on a pair of shorts. They were just shorts. I went out to the camper. There's 144 children there. There's all teenagers. Grown young ladies. One church in Texas owns about 3,000. They have a Spanish department. Man, he used to have real Bible conviction. And he said, "I want y'all to know here at this church in this day, Father, there'll be no conviction, no issue anymore with the pants issue, and so we'll do away with it." Always preach against it.
for 30 years, man, been preaching. So they done away with it. And so we sent out a little poster. That's our camp. We bought the land, and we built the building with our hands. Nobody donated no money to it. We did it ourselves. If that's my ground, I do what I want to, man. So we sent out a notice, please, all you girls come with dresses on. They come with riches on. They come with Baptist riches on. That's one that sewed up in the middle. They had them Baptist riches on. They came in there, and one girl, she had her leg like this. She was about 18. And them Baptist riches, they fall down like this. And she was sitting there naked. I mean, honey, her hiney was so nice. I'm just telling you, I mean, and they said, well, Brother Wood. And I told Brother Daniel, and I told, we have a camp next week. I said, nobody is going to walk in these grounds with anybody except them. You hear me? You ain't coming out here with a tattoo lock, whatever that is. Now that can mean anything. And so they cut them riches off. And this girl finally got him up to about here. She looked like she didn't like him. And her husband said, my brother, what don't like him? She said, I won't get out of town. Well, they didn't come in. So I went to visit him that night. I didn't know why I never had visited before. And I drove up there in that old black 85 Lincoln and got out. And they wasn't home. And just as I started to go get in my car, they drove in. And she said, I ain't getting out. She said, give me the keys. I'm going around here to the grocery store. She said, you can't go to the grocery store because you can't get out of there. She said, you're going to get out of the car, drive to you, and come to the other. She got out, and went to the other. And in the house, I never said a word. And some morning, I went in, and I asked all of them, and I called them, and I said, what is the will of this church? And the church is in trouble. Well, there can't be anything in this church. That's the will of the church. I didn't do nothing. See, we got down there in the night. See, there people down there in the days, everything got away. They said, it's totally for my sister. Don't do that. You can't do that. And so we called them in there. And so they said, you can't go through. He said, I don't believe like you did. That didn't make any difference. That's an independent Baptist church. We do what we please. Uh-huh. We're independent. You say, well, that high church, we do what we please. That's yourself. Uh-huh. But I like a man come to me the other day, and he said, you're a leader. I said, for what? He said, because you believe that things are wrong. I said, doesn't make any difference. What do you do? He said, I believe it's right. I said, that's yourself. Why? Why are you doing that? You ain't fighting up on me. And, you know, I ain't kidding. But I said, but I can't, since it's ours. Yeah. Since that's our food. Yeah. Since that's our home thing. We go there and kill it. And we're going to change it. Yeah. And we're doing it free of charge. We're going to dress like we can. So since they couldn't come back to church, they said, well, we will go over to Brother Paul Bob. We go over there. And find him over there. And you can dress like you want to. And so they said, how do y'all vote? So they voted. And they said, well, $65 over there. And some guy said, well, I don't like it. So they called another place, and they called $98. And so they said, well, that's where we're going. Yeah, let us do exactly what we want. So they went to the tent. It cost $100. They come here free. Brother Wood believes in Kula. I don't believe nothing about Kula. I believe in justice. Does anybody in here believe it's wrong the way I do? I believe it is for me. But homie, this is good. And I don't care what you do. I mean, you can send your wrong to the grocery store next time. You can even come back down to church after some guy likes what he's looking at and steals and runs off with it. You can come back and I'll cry with you. Though you're stupid, I'll cry with you. But for me and mine, my mind's made up. For you, you can change me. But I ain't even going to try to change you. I don't care what you do. I've done made up my mind there's a bunch of bandits going to do exactly what they want to. If it destroys the church and kills the power of God in us, they're going to do nothing. Please, so help yourself. But for me and God, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do what God wants us to do. God come over Sunday morning and said, well, I like this preacher. I spoke to him about 10 minutes. I said, son, I said, have you? I said, take a right right up on First Church. First Church you ran into. I said, Mangum Oaks Baptist Church is a good man there. He said,